Verse 6, thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. Awesome job tonight. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Tonight, I want to share with you a message that is actually a message that is in Pastor Ed's book, Pastor Ed Morales, our spiritual grandfather. Amen, our spiritual grandpapa. Amen, he's my pastor's pastor. Amen, which makes us, amen, makes him your spiritual great-grandpa.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
And Sunday morning, I'll be there preaching at his church on Sunday morning. Amen.
Oh, no.
In
oh,
Dallas. No. Amen. And so it's going to be a good time. He asked me to go share with the church there. So I'll be there. Me and my wife will be there Sunday morning. Amen. And you will be here.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because how many know we got to hold down the forts?
Yes.
And how many know God is moving here in VOGP?
Yes.
And just because pastor's not here, amen, the movement of God keeps on moving.
Right.
The church keeps on growing. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. And Pastor Josh will be filling in my shoes. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it's going to be a great Sunday morning service. But I say that just to say, Pastor, you know, Pastor Ed is Pastor Jesse's pastor. Amen. And our spiritual, he's Pastor Jesse's your spiritual grandpapa.
Amen.
Amen. I'm your spiritual papa. Amen. Your spiritual father. Amen.
Amen.
And Pastor Jesse is our spiritual grandfather. Amen.
Amen.
And then Pastor Ed is our spiritual great grandfather.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. How many
Amen.
Know we got good roots in this
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We got good DNA. Amen.
Amen.
We know who our daddy is.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
No,
Amen.
Right.
And it ain't the milkman. That's old school. Amen. That's old school. Come on, somebody. Amen.
Yeah.
And I pulled a message out of Pastor Ed's book, Defying the Odds. Amen. It's a great message. Amen. That I think that really our church really needs to kind of get it in our spirit. And we really need to, you know, we really need to live by it. And it, this message will help our church. Amen. Accomplish the mission that God has for us as a church, as the body of Christ.
Amen.
I believe that God has a plan for our church. I believe
Amen.
That God has
Amen.
A purpose for our church.
Amen.
Amen. And it's not to play church, but it's to make an impact in the city of Grand Prairie. Amen.
Amen.
And so, you know, I took this message from his book, Defying the Odds, and it's called The S's of Antioch.
Oh, come on now.
The S's of Antioch. Amen. And so I want to share these notes with you. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Amen. And again, if you're taking notes, you can title it The S's of Antioch. Amen. Antioch is the Bible we're going to learn here in a little bit, is where Christians were first called Christians.
Amen.
It's the church of Antioch that came up with the name Christian. Because before, you know, today we say Christian, 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 but remember, there was nothing before. There was nothing Christians, you know, before Jesus, there was no Christians.
Right. Yeah.
Matter of fact, even Jesus never used the word Christian.
Yeah.
You know, he called us disciples,
yeah.
followers. Amen. And after Jesus ascended to heaven, you know, the people that followed Jesus were just considered or called the people of the way.
Amen.
It wasn't until the church of Antioch. It wasn't until the church of Antioch was planted. And that church in Antioch made an impact in the city of Antioch, that they became known as Christians, or they were the Bible says they were first called Christians in Antioch. And so we're going to be looking at this church because this church made an impact in their city.
Amen.
How many want to make an impact in our city?
Amen.
How many want to impact Grand Prairie?
Yeah.
Then pay attention, amen, and take good notes. The S's of Antioch. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Tell your neighbor, be confident. He's doing a good work. Tell him he's going to finish it. He's going to finish the work in you.
Amen.
Come on, tell your neighbor, he's going to finish the work in you.
Praise God. Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Like Brother Carl says, won't he do it? Amen. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Anoint it to our hearts. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. So I pray that you would speak to us as the body of Christ here tonight. Lord, remove me to the side and anoint the notes, God, these notes that are so powerful, God. Lord, that have been able to be used through years and years of ministry. Use them here now in our church so that we can make an impact in our city. Lord, we praise you and we give you all the glory and all the honor. Holy Spirit, come and have your way in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want you to turn your Bibles now to the book of Acts, chapter 11. And let's look at the book. Let's look at the church of Antioch. Acts chapter 11, starting at verse 19. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Here in the book of Acts, we read this, starting in verse 19 through verse 26. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, in other words, the persecution that arose because of the stoning of Stephen, says, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, or unto the Greeks. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings or news of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch to find out what's taking place. Who when he came to Antioch and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto Jesus the Lord. For he was a good man, talking about Barnabas, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people were added unto the Lord. Then Barnabas departed to Tarsus to seek out Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church of Antioch, and taught many people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Amen. Now, we all know what our world is filled with. We all know what our world is filled with. It's filled with sin, filled with violence. We hear the statistics of the gang problems and the drug problems and the crime problems. Now, if we listen closely to these different things, we can hear the cries of people wanting their lives to be changed by God. It's called the silent cry. You remember the cry because it was the cry that you cried when you were in that jail cell, when you were in that crack house, when you were high on meth, when you were drunk out of your minds, when you were brokenhearted and depressed. It was that cry that we all cried. That cry when we were lost and lonely and we had nowhere to turn to. If you listen closely to the sins of our nation and our world and our city, you'll hear that silent cry. People crying out for a new life. People crying out for things to change. People crying out for their circumstance to change. Now, what kind of church is it going to take to fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ? What kind of ministry, what kind of church, what kind of effort is it going to take in our city to affect the kingdom of the devil and to be able to do God's will in our city? What kind of church is it going to take? I believe and I trust that you know that we aren't going to do anything just by listening to sermons and warming up the chairs in the church. We're going to have some action. Like that old TV show or movie, Action Jackson. How many remember that one? We're going to have to be able to do something.
We're going to have to be able to affect the neighborhoods and the ghettos and the barrios and the people next door. We're going to have to get out there and do something for Jesus. Does anybody want to get out there and do something for Jesus? Most of us want to simply to smile and look righteous. We're going to have to go into our cities and our churches and neighborhoods and do the great things that God has called us to do. Often when we read the Bible, we assume that the cities in the Bible are different from our cities. We believe for some reason the disciples or the apostles had it easier than us. We believe that they had it easier than us in reaching their city and reaching their community and preaching the gospel. When we look at the city of Antioch, it was similar to all of our large cities in our world today. When we look at the church of Antioch, it was similar to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, to Grand Prairie. Gene Edwards wrote a book entitled The Early Church, and he describes the city of Antioch like this in his book. He says, in Antioch, bordering the city of the south, there was a big statue. It was an engraving of a faceless human head. And according to a pagan myth, it was the one that transported dead souls to the underworlds. Then about 5 miles south was the statue of Apollos. There was immorality and prostitution, and they did everything in the name of religion there at these temples and at these statues. Around the city, there were sanctuaries for criminals, those in debt, and those running from slavery. Antioch was a beautiful city. In tradition and in the Greco-Roman world, it was adorned with all the beauty of the known Roman world at that time. It was a modern city of that time. Antioch was known as the beautiful, the Queen of the East. Downtown Antioch, they had pagan temples where every day people went and worshiped false gods. They even had a stadium that was called the Hippodrome, where they had a racetrack. They also had other sports. The city had over 500,000 people in it.
Wow.
It was like a city of today. No difference. The only difference between that city and our city is that the disciples and the apostles made an impact in Antioch. They did something for God. They disrupted the neighborhood. They disturbed the inner city. They said, we're not going to let the devil take our city. We're not going to let any gangs conquer our city. We're not going to let the drug pushers ruin lives anymore in our city. But we're going to take our city back from the devil.
Amen.
That's the difference. They chased the devil out of their city. They set up a church that had the power of Jesus in it, where Jesus moved every single day.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the type of church God wants us to be.
Amen.
So I want to talk to you today about being a supernatural church.
Oh my God.
Being a supernatural ministry. How many want to move in the supernatural?
Amen.
If we're going to be effective like the church in Antioch, we must follow their pattern. When you follow the pattern of Antioch, you're following a biblical model that the Holy Spirit built 2,000 years ago. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit knows how to build churches?
Amen.
When we look at the city of Antioch and the church in Antioch, we know that they were very successful. That they made a name for themselves. They made a name for all Christendom. So today I want to talk to you about being a supernatural ministry. What is supernatural? Something that is unexplainable. That's what supernatural is. Something that is unexplainable. Something that nobody can explain by natural law. When people try to explain Victory Outreach, many times they don't understand it. Sometimes we try to explain our ministry, sometimes people just don't understand it. They look at us and they say, how did you do everything that you've done? Because there's no great theologians in our ministry. There are no graduates from seminaries. In fact, there are not even that many of us who have gone to Bible school. How do you do it? The scripture. How do you do it? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:27 that God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. How do we do it? Listen, the answer that we got is just the supernatural move of God. Our ministry, our church is just a supernatural move of God. There's no explanation in man's terminology. All we can say is that God did it. It was a move of God that He saved us. It's a move of God that He raised us up. It's a move of God that He's changed our life. It's the move of God that He uses ordinary folks like you and I. Because we know that the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work. We know that people say, why are you guys so loyal? And why are you so committed? Why do you love your pastor so much? Why do you back up your pastor so much? Why are you faithful to him and her? Many don't understand it. Sometimes they look at us and they say, you're like, you kind of look like and sound something like a cult. Perhaps you're into hero worship, they say. We're not into any of that stuff. We just know where we come from. And we appreciate the people that God used to reach our lives. That's all it is. We just know where we come from. We just appreciate the man and the women of God that God used to reach us when nobody else wanted to touch us with a 10-foot pole. Thank God for men and women that God put a heart inside of them to reach into the inner cities, to reach a gang member, a drug addict, a down and outer like us. I know who gave me a chance to go out into the ministry. And I will always be faithful and loyal to those individuals who had a part in my life, in my life of Christ. It's not because we're into hero worship. It's not because I'm into hero worship. I'm into doing what God wants me to do.
Amen.
That's what it is. I'm into doing what God wants me to do. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, remember. Tell your neighbor, remember.
Remember.
It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering their end, considering the end of their conversation, or consider the end of their lifestyle. Then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. They watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We're just doing what the Bible tells us to do. That's it. We just want to honor the word of God. That's it. It is very important as Christians that we understand our position in Christ. We need to know and let the devil know that he has to understand that we're in charge. We have the authority. We have the power. If Christians would stop fighting with each other, more things would happen in the kingdom of God. We need to turn our energies and our attention to fighting Satan. We can go into the inner cities where there are gangs, there are drugs, and all the violence where it's at. We have the answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ. So these are the four S's of the Antioch church that will help us build God's church, our church. These four S's are the four S's that will cause us to be a supernatural church. The first S, to be a supernatural ministry, we must be sincere. Amen. Somebody say sincere.
Sincere.
Psalms 51 verse 17 says, God loves those who are of a broken heart.
Yes.
Who are of a broken and contrite hearts.
Yes.
Listen, when we go out to start a church or a Bible study. For those of you leaders or people that start ministries, you're in charge of a ministry. Listen, when we go out to start a ministry or a church or a Bible study group, or to even evangelize or to share Jesus with people, listen, you got to be sincere. We need to be sincere. Whenever we go out to witness, whenever we go out to start a Bible study, whenever we go out to start a church, we must have sincerity in our hearts. We must be sincere. We can't have false motives and wrong ideas. We must be people who say, all I want is to see souls saved. All I want in my life is God's will. All I want to do is give glory to God. See, the individuals who started the church in Antioch were nameless in the scripture. They were anonymous. In verses 19 through 20, it says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Greeks, preaching the Lord. It didn't give their name. It just says that there were men from Cyprus and Cyrene. If we're going to do something in our city, we must build a church and not care who gets the glory.
Hallelujah.
We all have to be anonymous for God's glory.
Amen. Amen.
When we are sincere, we fully realize that God builds the church. It's not our gifts. It's not our talents or our abilities that build the church, but it is God that builds the church.
God, amen.
Psalms 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wake it, but in vain. Except the Lord build the house, those that labor, labor in vain. It's the Holy Spirit who does the work. John chapter 6 verse 44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. In other words, it's God that draws people. It's God that builds the church. It's God that builds the ministry. It's the Holy Spirit who changes lives. It's the Holy Spirit that changed your life. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who gets somebody out of the inner city and he cleans up his or her act, puts a new song in their heart, establishes his going, and sets his feet upon a solid rock. That's the ministry of Jesus. That's God. It's not us. You're trying to build your ministry. It's God that builds your ministry. We got to be sincere. We got to have pure motives. That's the first S. We got to be sincere that we really want to see lives change. And then secondly, we got to be serious. The second S is that we got to be serious. See, sometimes I think people think we're like playing or something. That's why I say we're not playing church.
Come on now.
We're here to play church. I didn't get saved to play with God.
Come on now.
We must be serious. You must know that the church that is in your city was placed there by God. You got to know that we were placed there by God. Not by man. By God. God has a plan for this city. You must realize that you're the person that got put in this church to make an impact in the city. And you must be serious and confidence about that. You must realize that this city is your city. This church is your church. And you have to let the devil know that. You got to tell the devil, this is my city, my family, my church. They're not yours. They belong to God. We can't worry about all the churches and all the other ministries that are in our city. Some of them have been here for years. But we must believe in our hearts that the city belongs to us. And that we have the power through Jesus Christ to take it. We have the power through Jesus Christ to take it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Oh, but Pastor, look at us. I know who I'm looking at. Hello, somebody. This is why we dim the light, because we walk by faith and not by sight. Hello, somebody. Because if I look, I might get discouraged. Oh, but I know that God uses the foolish things of the world. God uses the people like us. Nobody's like us. What does he use us for? To take the city, to reach souls, to reach people. That's how we're going to build a church. That's how we're going to build a ministry. That's how we're going to launch out churches. That's how we're going to make an impact in our city, when we understand that it's God that does it. It's not us. And we must be serious about it. In Antioch, there were all kinds of churches and all kinds of religions in Antioch. There was all kinds of pagan worship in Antioch. There's all kinds of churches in our city. There's all kinds of religions in our city. Right. Why do people come to our church? Because they feel the sincerity that comes from our lives. Amen. They have to know that if they walk into our church, they're going to be welcome. Right. They're going to be loved. Amen. And they're going to be given an opportunity to minister. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:10, he says, be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. He says that we need to be sincere. That means without wax. Without wax. You know, like the wax museum down the street? We don't need to have none of that stuff. Huh? That's fake. Huh? What Paul is saying, he say, listen, he says we need to be sincere, meaning without wax. Paul could walk through the city and see all kinds of statues. In those days, there were many great statues and sculptures. Whenever they were making a statue and it would crack, they would fill the crack with wax. One would say, man, that looks good. That statue looks good. And they would buy it, and then they would take it home, and they would put it in its proper place. But when it would get hot, the wax melted. And they had a statue with all kinds of flaws in it. Quit filling the cracks with wax. Fill it with the solid word of God. Fill it with the power of the Holy Spirit. So many people, they want to try to fill their cracks with wax, my friend. Listen, that wax ain't going to last long. When the fiery trials of life come your way, it's going to melt that wax away. And you're going to see all the flaws and all the cracks in your life. Listen, just be sincere and be open about your flaws. And say, listen, I got these flaws, but listen, I ain't trying to cover them with wax. I'm just going to be real, and I'm just going to let God do the healing.
Come on, word.
We must constantly strive to be Christian individuals without cracks, without flaws. God can fix those flaws in our life, but we got to allow him to fix them. We know that we have them in our lives, but if they are there, let's not cover them up. Let's be sincere and say, I know I have problems. I know I have hang-ups. I know that I'm not the greatest person in the world, but I know that I'm striving to do the will of God. We must be sincere. We must be serious. And thirdly, if we're going to be a supernatural church, we must be spontaneous. Spontaneous. A supernatural ministry is spontaneous. We let the Holy Spirit move. Huh? We let the Holy Spirit move. In Acts chapter 11, verse 20, we read again that it says that some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spoke or they preached to the Greeks. The Lord Jesus. You know, as we read this today, it means very little to us today. except that they tried to reach the Jews. It says that they tried to reach the Jews, and then the Jews kind of shunned them away, and they weren't listening to them. So you know what they did? They did something radical. They did something radical. They said something radical for their time. They said, okay, if the Jews ain't going to grab it, if the Jews ain't going to listen, then we're going to go to the Greeks.
Come on now.
That was spontaneous. Yeah. That was radical for their day. Yeah. For them to go to the Greeks was breaking all the Jewish customs.
Yeah.
Was breaking all the laws. Was breaking all the normality of how they did church. They were breaking customs that for 3,000 years had separated the Jews from everyone else. Everyone who wasn't a Jew was a heathen. When the Holy Spirit fell upon them, they received power. And they were supposed to go to Jerusalem. That's what Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says. They were supposed to go to Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. But you know what the disciples did? Or you know what the disciples believed that meant? They believed that it meant that they were to go to Jerusalem just to reach the Jewish community. They were supposed to go to Samaria and get those Samaritans who were Jews. This is what they thought. Let's go to Samaria, okay, to reach the Jews. Let's go to Judea, okay, to reach the Jews. That was their mentality. And they thought that they were supposed to go to the whole world just to reach the Jewish community. They were doing ministry and they were acting on presupposition.
Presumptions.
They were presuming that all they were supposed to do was to reach the Jews because that was their tradition. That was something they had been taught for over 3,000 years. But here in Antioch, all of a sudden, the church got spontaneous.
Amen.
And so you know what? The Jews ain't listening. But this is a great city and God loves this city. So therefore, we're going to break all the norms. We're going to break all the traditions. And I believe one day they were probably having a rally right there in downtown Antioch. And they were preaching, Jews, you need to give your life to Jesus. They were right there in the Jewish corner. Come on, somebody. Where they sell the Jewish sandwiches. And they were preaching their heart out. And they were preaching. But the Jews kept on eating their sandwiches and walking by. So all of a sudden, these men from Cyrene and Cyprus, they say, man, forget this. They ain't listening. Let's go over here to the Greeks over here eating their Greek sandwiches and their Greek burritos. Hello, somebody. And we're going to preach to them. And all of a sudden, they started to preach to them. And all of a sudden, they stopped eating their burritos. And they started to listen to the good news. They started listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, those Greeks started to be broken. And all of a sudden, they started to draw near. And they made the altar call. And they gave their life to Jesus. You should get excited because you're a heathen just like they were a heathen. Here, I don't think we have any Jews in the house, but if we do, praise God. God loves you too, and you need to be saved too. Don't be like them that were in the book of Antioch or in the Bible and rejected Jesus, but the Greeks began to receive Jesus.
Amen.
And revival break forth.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because the church got spontaneous.
Yes.
It's like us, what we did on our Wednesday, we were doing evangelism.
Come on.
Huh?
Amen.
Pastor gets crazy ideas.
Come on now.
I don't know what's wrong with him. Pray for him. We were doing a rally the other day. And I said, you know what? We got a trailer. We need to hook the trailer to the van. Put the rally equipment on the trailer. It's like these great rallies are great, but we're confined to one location. So I don't like to be confined. No more locked doors. I told the guys, I said, hey man, next time, you know, we're going to get the trailer. You're going to connect the rally equipment to the, you know, the little, what do you, the power adapter. And this time, instead of getting hot dogs, we're tired of buying hot dogs.
Yes.
Hot dogs take too long.
Yes.
The people are waiting for a hot dog because we forgot the car. The
charcoal.
Yeah. So just bring lolly. Just bring popsicles. Yeah. Get some dry ice.
Yeah.
We ain't gotta cook no hot dogs. And let's just go out. All the kids. Everybody likes ice cream. Especially free ice cream.
Yeah.
Huh? None of us ever thought. I don't even think no victory. I ever just thought of that. So you gotta get spontaneous. You gotta just get spontaneous. I believe that was from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Then we went out and we went and then we went to some apartments and we're dead. We were preaching, and I don't know what people don't like free ice cream. They weren't coming out. So I said, forget y'all. We're going somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, pray for them. We're going to go back. Amen. But then we went to another spot, off to a park, and all of a sudden, everybody started to come get the ice cream. That's being spontaneous. So letting the Holy Spirit move the way the Holy Spirit moves. For you Bible study leaders, for you people that run ministries, you got to get spontaneous. You got to get spontaneous. Let the Holy Spirit use you. Let the Holy Spirit break the tradition, break the norm. Come on, somebody.
Right.
We must always in the church and in our private lives be open to what God wants to do. In every service, we don't always have to have preaching. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to take over.
Amen.
Man, there might be some service we come in and the Holy Spirit just takes over. I can't even preach. We can't even preach because the Holy Spirit just breaks out. And the Holy Spirit just wants us to sing and worship the Lord and make altar calls and pray for deliverance and lay hands on the sick and lay hands on the drug addict and lay hands on the backslider and lay hands and see them get a breakthrough. That's being spontaneous. We don't always have to sing 20 songs. Pray three times in the service. But we always got to be open on how God is moving. How is God going to move in your Bible study? How's God going to move in the service? How's God going to move in your ministry? How's God going to move in your life? God moves the way He wants to move.
Amen.
A lot of times when people come to church, they don't need to hear a sermon or hear a teaching. Perhaps what they need is to hear a testimony of God's delivering power. Perhaps the people need to spend an hour praying at the altar, getting a hold of God, and have God move in their lives. Maybe they just need someone to hug them. Maybe they just need to be told that Jesus loves them or that you love them. We need good music that praises and worships God. And let God move in your life. And He will move. When God moves in your life, God will move in the church.
Amen.
Yes.
Say that again.
We can't be bound by tradition. People sometimes, people still go to the street. They just go to the street witnessing on Friday nights only. They're confounded to just going to the streets on Friday nights. Or maybe a Wednesday night at treasure hunt. Or they're confounded by Wednesday or Friday going to the streets. They're bound by a traditional day and they can't change. Why? They don't even know why. They don't know why they go to the streets on Friday or Wednesday. But they've been doing it for years. So let's just go to the streets on Friday. Do they think that sinners only go out and sin on Fridays? There are people needing Jesus Christ on the streets every hour of every day. We shouldn't be confounding going to the streets just on Friday nights. or just on Saturday rallies, or just on Wednesday treasure hunters. No, we must be open to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit might put it on your heart on a Monday or on a Tuesday to go visit somebody, or go to the streets and pass out flyers at the park, or go to the certain apartments and witness, or to have a rally. We have to be open and spontaneous. Listen, this is the type of church that Antioch was. This is the type of church that God will use to make an impact in the city. A church that is not confounded by tradition, but is spontaneous in what God would have them to do. Many churches don't send people out to start new churches or to witness because they feel like Christians need to be perfect in order to do that. All we need is a willing heart. To be a person who says, I'm going to purpose in my heart to not defile myself with the things of this world like Daniel did in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the things of this world. All we need is young Christians and people that purpose in their heart that won't defile themselves with the world. People and Christians that will commit themselves to study God's word and keep on praying and believing God. See, that's the kind of person that'll make things happen. When Victory Outreach started, when we started having conferences in 1979, they didn't really know what God was going to do. They just started having conferences and they let God have his way. They let God have control. Oftentimes, we don't know what God's going to do. See, that's the thing. See, the problem is that we want to know. We're a people that want to know. We want to know every step. And you know what we do when we want to know? We want to know what time's it going to start? What time's it going to end? How is it going to happen? And listen, when we do that, it's like we're putting God in a box.
Amen.
How do we know when we're not a spontaneous ministry? There's no fire in us. There's no fire in our ministry. Often people and leaders are more like cheerleaders. We come up here and sometimes we're like cheerleaders. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise God. And let's stand, clap, lift your hands. We try to work up the Spirit rather than let the Spirit move. We shouldn't have to come up here and have to cheerlead.
Come on now.
We should come because and worship becomes natural. And praise becomes natural. And we just, because we're surrendered people, we break out in praise.
Come on now.
We break out in worship.
Amen.
We break out in dance. We don't worry about, oh, I'm going to ruin my dress, or I'm going to ruin my suit, or I'm going to wrinkle my pants. And we don't worry about that stuff. In service on Sunday, God starts to move, and everybody starts to say, oh man, what's happening? We gotta be cool. It's Sunday morning. We gotta be cool. We gotta be sophisticated. It's all right. Get up and dance and praise the Lord. Even if they look at you strange, forget who's looking at you. You worship before one. You worship before God. You praise before God. Forget all the other stuff. Just let God move in your life. What's happening is that you can't get a breakthrough because you're in the way. You got to get out of the way and just let God take control of your life and say, it don't matter how I look. It don't matter what people say. I didn't come for them. I came for God. Let God move. Look at what happened to Peter. Peter said, Jesus, is that you? Is that you walking on water? Jesus probably looked at him, what do you think? Come on, Peter. Who else walks on water? Who else walks on water? I mean, ain't like there's a lot of people in Galilee walking on water. Who else do you think it is? Peter said, let me get out of the boat and walk to you. Jesus said, come on, man. Many of us today are sitting in our boat saying, I want to be a witness. I want to win my city for Christ. Then get out of the boat. All the disciples were in the boat, but only one got out of the boat. Everybody preaches that Peter lost faith, that he doubted. But everybody else was sitting in the boat and didn't do anything. There are many people who just sit in the boat and constantly analyze the situation as to why Peter was sinking. Get out of the boat! Be bold! Let God move in your lives! And let God move in the church! Let God move at the street rallies! Let God do what He wants to do! If we're going to be a supernatural ministry, then we have to be spontaneous people, letting the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Gotta get out the boat. Tell you never get out the boat. The last S, a supernatural ministry. We have to know that the ministry is strenuous. The last S, strenuous. If we're going to have a supernatural ministry, then we must know that it will be strenuous and it will take a lot of work. That's what it means. It's going to take a lot of work. Somebody say work.
Work.
Some look at work, the word work, as a four-letter word. It is. When some people look at a church that is growing, they say, oh, they're growing because they have it made in that city. In that city, there were people waiting at the gate with tithing envelopes. That's why they're growing. Their city is easy, but my city is hard. My city is full of real sin, and it's tough. We live in a real ghetto, they say. It's real depressing in my city. But if that's the case, Romans chapter 5, verse 20 says, where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds even more. Then that means there should be more grace in your evil city to do a work for God.
Come on now.
It takes work to build a church, and it just doesn't happen overnight. It takes work. We have to roll up our sleeves and put our hands to the plow and hit the streets and work and give and work and give and show up and come early and leave late. Put in after work. We work 40 hours a week, but we come after work to the ministry, to our Bible studies, to worship rehearsal, to the rally. Come on, somebody. And we put in more work. We don't clock out because He don't clock out. The Bible says our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Proverbs 24, verse 30 through 32 says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nestles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Listen, if you're going to build your ministry, it's going to take work. If you're going to build the worship team, it's going to take work. If you're going to build the men's and women's home, it's going to take work. If you're going to build your Bible study, it's going to take work. If you're going to build the gang ministry, it's going to take work. Proverbs 24, verse 27 says, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. In other words, the saying, be a builder.
Yeah.
It's going to take work.
Right, man.
The church in Antioch started to grow. When? After the death of Stephen. After the death of the man that was putting in work. The church in Jerusalem started to grow. When? After the death of Jesus. When is the church in our city going to start to grow? When people start to realize that they have to allow God to move and they must die. They must die to themselves. We don't want to die to ourselves. We must give our lives over to Jesus Christ daily. Surrender our lives and say, whatever you want to do in and through me, Whatever you want to do in and through me. You want me? You want me to join the worship team? You want me to go to the rally? You want me to witness? You want me to pass out flyers? You want me to go visit that person? You want me to go counsel? You want me to go do a Bible study? You want to use me to preach? I'll be that. Whatever you want to use and through my life. What do you want me to be? You want me to disciple somebody? You want me to teach somebody to pray? You want me to cover my pastors in prayer? What do you want me to? What do you want me to assist my leaders? It's going to take endless hours of tears and prayer, sweat and toil to build the church in our city.
Right.
It's going to take huge amounts of money.
Right.
I'm going to say it again. It's going to take huge amounts of money.
Right.
To have events in our city, it takes money.
Right.
It takes the sacrifice of our money.
Right.
You talk about money, people get funny. That's where you want to hit people where it hurts. That's where it hurts, their money, their wallets. Do you want to reach the world for Jesus?
Amen.
Do you want to reach the world for Jesus?
Amen.
Then when you come to church, give extra.
Amen.
Give extra.
Amen.
When I or the leaders get up and says, we're going to launch out a new church.
Come on now.
Or send forth a missionary.
Amen.
We must give our money. When I say we're going to have a revival, we need to give our money.
Amen.
When we're going to have a drama, we need to give our money.
Amen.
When we need to get a bigger building or buy this building, we need to give our money.
Amen.
It's going to take a lifetime commitment. It's going to take a whole lot of guts to do it. Because it's strenuous. We must have a supernatural ministry. We must affect the kingdom of the devil in our cities.
Amen.
The devil has his kingdom in our city. Why do you think there's so much drugs? Why do you think there's so much murder? Why do you think there's so much? Why do you think there's just so much chaos? There's so much because the devil has his kingdom in our city. Things will happen when people hear about what's taking place in our church. When the newspaper hears about us, when the television, the radio stations hear about us, people will begin to come. Things will happen. Why? Because we want the glory? No. Because we are letting our city know that there are people in their city, that there's a church in our city that is making an impact on the kingdom of the devil. And that we care for those people. Many church leaders, they say, we don't have any money to have publicity and make our church known throughout the city. We don't have any money to hold a revival. We don't have any money to do this, to buy this building. Listen, there's too many leaders, people in the church that talk like that. What you need to do is that's you, get out the way. My pastor used to say all the time, if you're going to stand in the gap, standing in the gap means you're praying and you're doing something. But if you're standing in the gap and you're just taking up space, get out the way. God is always a God of His Word. He always a God of His Word. Whatever you need, it's there. 2 Kings 4:2, the story of Elijah and the widow. He told her in 2 Kings verse 4 verse 2. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a little pot of oil. We know the story. She took her last when she thought she had nothing. And God multiplied it and met the needs. We may think that we have just a little bit in our house. And our back and our resources. You just give that and watch God multiply. Not just to meet your needs, but to meet the needs of the city. To meet the needs so that we can make an impact in our city and see more souls won over to God. We must be serious. We must be sincere. And we must know it's strenuous. To be successful is going to take a lot of work. And it also must be spontaneous. Jesus is going to move the way He wants to move, and we must let Him. If sin gets more evil, we must know that we're going to need and receive more of Jesus' power. as the opioid and the heroin epidemic starts to go everywhere, people are going to have to get healed and delivered in our churches and in our ministries. Whether they have AIDS, leukemia, or whatever, there has to be healing in our ministries. We can't just be a church where AIDS or cancer victims come and they come in and we just bury them. Don't you think God wants to get the glory?
Yes.
Don't you think He wants to get the glory if He heals them?
Yes.
They used to say, once a junkie, always a junkie. There's no cure for the heroin addict. There's a little poem that says, whoever turned you on to heroin should have just shot you with a 45 and blew your brains out. But you know what? Victory Outreach changed that. God, through our ministry, has changed that. And now there's hope for the drug addict. Because there was no hope before. But praise God, in Jesus Christ, there is hope. It doesn't matter if you're on heroin, cocaine, crack, or meth. The God that we serve is mightier and greater than any drug, than any alcohol that this world or the devil has to offer. The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is greater than any disease. Unless we have a supernatural ministry. The piano player can come up. Unless we are creating a nice atmosphere. Unless everything is happening spontaneously. Unless we're working, things aren't going to happen. And what we're going to do is just stagnate. Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus said, I also say unto you that thou art Peter. Peter, a mess up. Peter, who had a big mouth. And he says, and thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Peter reminds me of us.
Come on now.
That's why I like this verse. Because Peter reminds me of my life. I was a Peter, a mess up, big mouth. Peter is even a backslider. But Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's build with these four S's in mind. Be sincere. Be sincere in serving God. Be sincere in serving God. Be real. Be real in your ministry. Be real when you love people. Be real when you go to the streets. Be real in your love for God and love for people. We got to examine ourselves. Even the longer that we're saved, we need to be careful. Because our love can wax cold. We need to be sincere. We need to be serious about building the kingdom of God. Be serious about it. Let's not play church. Let's not play with the devil. Let's not play patty cake with the devil. Let's be spontaneous. Allow the Holy Spirit to move. Allow the Holy Spirit to move and let Him have His way. And then know it's going to take strain. It's going to be strenuous. It's going to take hard work. You're going to sweat. You're going to cry. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But if we go into ministry with this mindset, we'll build for God. We'll build something for God. We'll build something that will outlast us. We'll build something that will outlast us. And it will make an impact in Grand Prairie. And then people will come from surrounding cities to come to see what's taking place. Because there's a radical people that are not putting God in a box.
Come on now.
There's a radical people.
Yes.
They're taking God serious.
Yes.
You take God serious?
Yes.
And stand to your feet. The S's of Antioch. It's these messages that will build a church. Will build your life. You got to ask yourself, am I sincere? Am I serious? Am I sincere in my faith? Am I serious in my faith? Am I a serious Christian? Am I spontaneous or do I just put God in a box? And am I being strenuous? And am I exerting my full potential, my full energy to serving God. These four S's in our lives. Apply them. Pray over them. Apply them. Don't just be a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Apply them. Give yourself away. Give yourself away. Give yourself to God. Allow God to use you. When you read this Bible, take it serious.
Yes.
You read this Bible and you hear about the end times. They're going to talk about it in Life Flow on Sunday night. I don't see how you cannot be serious. When you look at the news in this world and you see all the madness taking place, I don't see how we cannot be serious and sincere. You know, the problem is that, you know, when Christians, they don't take Christianity or church serious, it shows that they're really not sincere. I don't see how a Christian can just go to church and just want to be blessed. They just want to be blessed. I just want to be blessed. I want to hear the prosperity gospel. Listen, we believe in being prosperous, but we believe in God blessing us so that we could be a blessing.
Amen.
Not to hog it for ourselves. And that was the problem with the early church. I'm teaching on church history, so I'm studying. And it's and the problem with the reformers seen with the church and the Catholic Church at that time was that, you know, they were so comfortable. They went even in their churches and in their monasteries. They were so affluent. They went to these churches and monasteries and they had it all. They had it all. They were comfortable places. This is that's not how it's supposed to be. That cross was uncomfortable for Jesus. But yet Christians, we want to be comfortable. We want to be comfortable in the church. We want the church to have extra cushion on the seats. Oh, you know what? Better yet, let's have a church where, you know how the movies do it, where they, you know, now you can pick up your legs, you know, the recliners. Let's have church like that. Oh, let's have church where anybody can just bring soda in the sanctuary, coffee in the sanctuary, and that, popcorn in the sanctuary. Let's have church where, you know, the pastor don't preach heavy messages that make me feel uncomfortable about my way of life, about my homosexuality, about my sin, about my alcoholism, about my laziness, about my selfishness. A lot of Christians, you may not be involved in sin, but you're so selfish. You're so selfish. We don't want to get out of ourselves. Go minister to people. Go love people. Go talk to the drug addict, the gang member, the homeless, the prostitute. And you know what? We've turned blind eye. We're stuck in our bubble because we're blessed. God, he saved us and he raised us and he put us in a middle class neighborhood. He put us in a good neighborhood and now we don't even go to the ghetto. Now we don't even go to where the drugs are at. Thank God because we've been delivered. But listen, don't forget where you come from. Remember, that's what Victory Outreach is about. That's why we go to the streets. I'm not saying not to live in, listen man, live in the middle class, praise God man, live where you know, go to Highland Hills for all I care, or Highland Park, if you can afford it. But don't forget,
right,
the ghetto.
Right.
Don't forget where God pulled us out of. Don't forget where the need's at. Don't forget. Don't forget that there's homeless people. Don't forget that there's drug addicts. Don't forget that there's gang members. Don't forget that there's prostitutes. Don't forget that we have a men's home and that we have a women's home. When's the last time you've been in the women's home? When's the last time you've been in the men's home to drop off some dish detergent? It's some toilet paper, some ice cream, some steak, some beans and rice. Go spend time in the men's home. Go spend time with the women in the women's home. Go. Remember when you were in the home? Remember your time in the home? Go talk to them. Go counsel them. Go just hang out. The S's of Antioch. We cannot live in our bubble. It's going to be strenuous. This is what God has called us to do. If we're going to make an impact, if we're going to make an impact, say, man, yeah, that's the church where all them drug addicts are getting saved. All them neighborhood kids are getting saved. That's where they're going. That's that church. Come on, let's go see what's happening. The need is so great. But we can't turn a blind eye. It's easy for us to lose sight of it because God has blessed us. But even when God blesses us, praise God, because we believe God's going to bless us. But let's never forget. Let's never forget. Lift your hands to the Lord. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Tonight, I know I'm not preaching this because we don't do this. I'm preaching this because we need to continue to do this. There may be some that kind of get comfortable a little bit. It's just a reminder. It's just a reminder to say, you know what? I can't get comfortable. Because sometimes we can get a little sophisticated. Sometimes we can get a little lazy spiritually. God has to remind us through the Holy Spirit. He has to remind us who we are. Who we are. What rock we've been cut from. We're not like other ministries. God has tailor-made us for the inner cities, for the ghettos, for the barrios, for the treasures out of darkness. The altar's open here tonight. If God minister to your life, I want you to come. You want God to use your life. You want God to use your life in this church, in our cities. You want God to use you. You love God. You love people. You want to be used by God. You come. Come in this altar call. Say, God, have your way in my life. Have your way in my life. Have your way in my heart. In the name of Jesus. life to Jesus.
Giving your life to Jesus is the best thing you could ever do. Giving your life to Jesus is something radical and spontaneous. But the work that Jesus is going to do in you, he'll finish it. Just like the opening verse says, the good work that he started in you, he's faithful and just to complete it. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, you say, you know what, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus tonight. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody here, you want to give your life to Jesus? God bless you. God sees your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Maybe you walked away from Jesus and you want to give your heart to Jesus back tonight. Just raise your hand. God bless you. If you're in your chair and you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. Come stand in front of me. Jesus, you shall be saved.
Amen.
The Bible says also that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Hallelujah.
He says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's what Jesus does. He cleanses us. And he saves us. Say this prayer for those that want to get saved. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Wash me in your blood. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. For your forgiving power upon my life. Today, I surrender my heart to you. Today, I accept you into my heart to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I give my life to you. Jesus, change me. Change my heart. Renew my mind. I want to be your follower. A good disciple. In Jesus' name. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and resurrecting on the third day. I totally believe that you did it all for me. I surrender all to you and I thank you. I thank you. Now begin to thank Jesus. Just say thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus. Oh, the power of God's in this place. The power of God's in this place. Stay right where you're at. Spend some time with Jesus. Spend some time with him. Spend some time with him. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come now.
Bible says, out of your belly will flow, rivers of living water. Will flow rivers of living water. Been baptized in the Holy Spirit, with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. In other words, you've never spoken in tongues before yet, but you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want to speak in tongues. If that's you, say, Pastor, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, the only way you're going to make it as a Christian is to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And you say, that's me, Pastor. I want to pray. I want you to pray for me that I receive the Holy Spirit, that I begin to speak in tongues. I want my prayer language. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody here want to speak in tongues? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Raise your hand.
Come on now. Let's be real.
Those that speak in tongues, I want you to go behind them and lay hands on them. If you see somebody with their hand raised, go lay hands on them. Preferably women with their hand. I want you to listen now. I want you to know one thing. This is not spooky. I want you to know it's not fake.
Come on now.
It's real. He's real. Holy Spirit's real. The gift of speaking in tongues is real. And I want you to know something. The third thing, the Lord wants to give them to you. He wants to give you your own prayer language to edify yourself, to edify you and others. Because that's what it does. Your prayer language will begin to build you up and build others up. And it's going to build your prayer life.
Yes, yes.
But what you have to do right now is you got to totally surrender everything to God. You cannot be shy. You cannot worry about what other people think.
Right.
You cannot be complex. You just got to get rid of that. Just close your eyes. Close your eyes. We're going to pray. They're going to lay hands on you. And you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And you, when you do, when you feel, when you're going to feel something sometimes in your stomach, in your belly, you're going to begin to feel it bubble up. And you're going to have to release your tongue. You're going to have to release. You can't let go. You're going to have to open up your mouth. The verse says, open up your mouth and I will fill it. That's what the Bible says. Open up your mouth and I will fill it. So you have to open up your mouth. You have to let something come out. You're not going to understand it. Don't try to understand it. Just allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Are you ready? Lift your hands for those who want to receive the Holy Spirit, those who want to speak in tongues. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. We're going to pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. You see your people that are hungry for you. They're hungry. They're hungry for your move. They're hungry for your spirit. They're hungry for your anointing. They're hungry for your power. They're hungry to feel you. There it is, right there. Breathe upon the Holy Spirit. Shatta ta ta ra ba ya ta ta ra ba ya shatta ta ta ra ba ya ta ta.
That's it, let your tongue roll. Let your tongue roll. Robo yo shata rabayata. That's it, sister, you got it. He's all over you. Shoto robo yo tarabaya kanda rabaya shata. Shanda rabaya sike nebo yo shoto robo ya kanda. That's it. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. Robo yo tanda rabaya shata rabaya tara. Shata rabaya kanda. Pour out the Holy Spirit. Pour out the Holy Spirit. New wine in the name of Jesus. Shanda rabaya kanda rabaya tara. Shondo robo yo shoto robo.
See that? Okay, everybody continue to speak in tongues. If you spoke in tongues, start speaking in tongues again. Don't stop, speak in tongues again. We're not finished. Holy Spirit's not finished.
Believe it.
If you did not speak in tongues and you wanted to speak in tongues, you're gonna have to take a bigger step of faith now.
That's right.
Keep on speaking in tongues. Keep on. But if you did not speak in tongues and you still want to speak in tongues, raise your hand, wave at me, that's you. Wave at me, that's you. Now what I want you to do is I want you to come on stage with me now. If you did not speak in tongues, but you want to speak, come on stage now. You come. I want you to form a line. Josh, come help me. You guys continue to pray. Stretch your hands. Stretch your hands. Speak in tongues. Pray in your heavenly language. First off, have you given your life to Jesus? Are you a Christian? Okay. You believe in Jesus in your heart? Okay. You believe he has power to change your life? So you surrendered your heart to God? Okay. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. Listen to me. You have to surrender all to God now. Can you do that? Just nod your head. Okay, then you're going to have to open up your mouth. You're going to have to open up your mouth, and you're going to have to talk to Jesus. Do you have gum in your mouth? Okay, you're going to have to spit it out. Okay. Lift your hands, close your eyes. Now I want you to talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. See? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Keep on saying it. Over and over and over.
You spoke in tongues.
Believe it.
What did you feel?
Feel good?
Have you ever felt like that? You never felt like that before? You feel good? You feel peace? Listen, do you believe what happened to you was real?
That's the only thing.
It's not fake, right? It's real. You spoke in tongues.
Amen.
You spoke in tongues. Because the Holy Spirit came and helped you. But now, you got to continue to do it.
That's right.
The same thing that you learn, continue to do it. Every day, even if it's just for 5 minutes. Every time you get up, continue to do it. And you're going to feel that same peace that you feel right now, you're going to continue to feel it. Amen? All right. Keep coming to church. Don't stop. You got to be here Sunday. And then when you come Sunday, speak in tongues again. Don't let the devil's going to try to come to you and lie to you.
Come on now.
He's going to try to come and lie and say, no, it wasn't you, it was Pastor. No, no. You rebuke that power. Say, it's God.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless you. What's your name?
Gatlin.
Come on, give Gatlin a hand. Are you a Christian? Believe in Jesus. Yeah? Who's Jesus?
Our Father.
The Son of God. You believe he has the power to do anything? Okay, lift your hands, close your eyes. You got gum in your mouth. If you have gum in your mouth, it's probably what's holding you back. Take the gum out. Okay, close your eyes, lift your hands. You're going to do the same thing Kaylin did.
Gatlin.
All right, close your eyes. Don't forget about me, forget about everybody else, okay? Just close your eyes, lift your hands. You're going to say thank you, Jesus.
Oh, that's the Holy Spirit right there. That's it.
Just let him have his way. Let him have his way. It's okay. It's all right. Come on, say thank you, Jesus. What do you feel right now? How do you feel? Feel good? Are you crying? Why are you crying?
Because I felt God.
Yeah. That's good. Have you ever felt God like you felt him tonight? Yeah? Keep on feeling him. Keep coming to church. Don't stop, okay? What's your name again? Elena, come on, give Elena a hand. She's a believe in Jesus? Yes. You're a Christian? Do you pray? Yeah. What do you say when you pray?
That I'm blessed and that God helps me.
That you're blessed and that God helps you. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's what I want you to pray right now, right? I just want you to keep on saying that you're blessed and that God helps you. Okay? Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Repeat that. I'm blessed and God is my helper. I'm blessed and God is my helper.
Glory.
Come on.
Glory. Just keep saying that. Glory. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Whoa, whoa.
Give Addie a hand. Yeah. Lift your hands to the Lord. Close your eyes. Somebody get behind her. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, oh, in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. Just let him have his way. Just let him have his way. Just let him have his way. In the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name. Shatana, pray for her right there, guys. Just pray for her right there. I want you to come. Oh, that's it. That's it. That's it right there. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. She's speaking in tongues already. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Shatana, Maya, Shatana. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's it, that's it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, you want prayer?
Hallelujah.
You still want to be prayed for? Come over here, come on this side. Come on this side. Are you a Christian? You scared? You gotta be scared. Don't be scared. God loves you. But you believe in Jesus, right? Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that what you see, what you hear is real? Oh, I see God all over you already. Close your eyes, lift your hands. Somebody get behind you. God has something special for you. What's your name?
Layla.
Layla. Layla. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Lila right now, God. Lord, in Jesus' name. You said that in the last days, your young people will prophesy. They will see visions. Father, right now, release that spirit upon Lila.
in the name of Jesus. Father, come upon her. Send the Holy Spirit to come upon her like never before, that she will feel your presence like never before, in the name that is above all names, that sweet name of Jesus. Pour out your anointing, the new wine, God, upon her life, in the name of Jesus. Baptize her in fire, God, for the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, Father. That's it, just pray, like, pray, that's it, talk to Jesus. Don't stop. Come on, she spoke in tongues tonight. Praise the Lord. He's a good God. He's a good God. God's real, people. His power's real. Don't ever let the world tell you anything different. Don't be afraid. Listen, for some of you that hold back, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid. Don't be complex. Some of you probably didn't come up. You can receive. I spoke in tongues for the first time, a little bit at the altar. But when it burst out for me, was at my house.
Me too.
In my room. After an altar call like this, I went home. I had me a little altar at home because I was barely saved. I didn't know no better. And I knelt before the altar, the picture of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit just hit me. And I started to and there was family in the house and I didn't care what they thought. I just knew I felt something I never felt. I experienced something I never experienced. And from that day on, I wanted more. Wanted more. And for Christians that you've been speaking in tongues for a long time, some of you, it's almost like you got to rededicate your life to speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we let our tongue get stale.
Yeah.
We let it get weak because we stop using our prayer language. But you need to pray in English and you need to pray in the Spirit.
Amen.
You need, and if you pray in Spanish, then pray in Spanish too. If you speak Japanese, then pray in Japanese. All that. But you also need to pray in the Spirit. And listen, it's something that I cannot describe. It's something that you have to experience for yourself.
That's right.
But you're not going to do it if you're afraid of it, if you're complex, and if you don't let the Holy Spirit just let him have his way. Now, if you don't speak in tongues, does that mean you're not saved? No. Does that mean you're less? No. It doesn't mean that. Don't get me wrong. Okay? But Paul said, I desire that everybody preaches and prophesies. But the Bible is real clear about praying in the Spirit, that it edifies us, it builds us up. So let's continue to pray in the super. And you know why I did this tonight? Because listen, I talked about being spontaneous. And if there's anything that makes us a spontaneous church and spontaneous Christians, is being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us spontaneous. It calls us to stop at a red light, get out of a car, and give somebody
flyer.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah. That it causes us to pull over when we're driving down the street and we see a drug addict or just a street walker. That it causes us to pull over, get out of our car, and give them a flyer.
Amen.
Spontaneous.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Amen. Were you blessed tonight?
Yes.
Lift your hands. We're going to close in prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we feel your presence and we feel your power. And we give you all the glory. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the praise, God. Continue to use us as the body of Christ to make an impact in our city. We thank you for the many salvations and the many baptisms of the Holy Spirit that took place here tonight. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Come on, let's go to the streets. Give a brother Joe, take the streets now. Oh, is Sister Sylvia's birthday? I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Josh.
Praise the Lord, amen. We just want to sing happy birthday to our spiritual mother. Amen. She's going to be here Sunday morning, so we want to do this here tonight. Amen. Go ahead, please.
Come up here with me, and then we're going to pray for our spiritual mother. So go ahead and stretch your hands right there where you're at. We're going to pray over her life. Father God, in Jesus' name, my God, we come before you. We thank you, God, for the life, God, of our spiritual mother, Sister Sylvia, God. Oh, we thank you, God, oh, for what all you've done in her life, God. Thank you for saving her, God. Thank you, God, for blessing her, God. Oh, God, I pray right now, God, for many years, God, more to come, God. Oh, serving you, God. Oh, worshiping you, God, and following you, God. Oh, with her husband, Pastor Francisco, God. Thank you for our spiritual mother, God. Thank you, God, for giving us, God. Oh, God, a mother, God, who looks after her daughters, her spiritual daughters, God, and a mother who's after your own heart, God. I pray, God, that you bless her, continue anointing her. Pour out your spirit upon her life. Pour out your blessings, God, upon her life and her family, Father. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to say thank you to all of you, amen, for thinking about me. Amen. I love you all, and you guys made my day special today. Amen. Thank you. I love you guys.
Love you, love.
Praise the Lord. Tomorrow we're going to be having dinner for Sister Sylvia's birthday right there at the Olive Garden at 6 p.m. At 6 p.m. If we have the flyer, it's on the... It's right there on the screen. If you want to join us, we'll be there tomorrow at 6 p.m. right there for 161 right in Grand Prairie. Praise the Lord.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you
I'll give her. Yeah, he's like, I was fishing. I was like, I gotta introduce you to my job.
He's Kate?
I literally went like this. I did not touch a single.
Yeah, I need a piece of that.
Alex, I seen you with my eyes.
I didn't touch the chair. He lied in your way. He literally went across from the other side. I saw y'all on
with the other leg, yeah. Hey, don't walk away from me. I'm talking to you. Alex.
So I'm like, get a piece out of
Yeah, I was gonna tell you about that, but I thought
Golly, take me down a piece.